Hello, everybody. Welcome to another episode of the Comic Source Podcast. I'm Jace.
I'm Jaden.
And I'm...
So this episode is our San Diego Comic-Con news episode about all things TV and movie. So if you're looking for the comic news, that was a couple episodes ago. And we're also still in the process of releasing all our interviews that we did. The next interview that'll go up will be the Gerard Way interview. That should be up on Monday. And just a quick reminder for all you huge Gerard Way fans, I know you're out there because you've been following me on Twitter, following the Comic Source on Twitter, and we really appreciate that support. But just a reminder that at the beginning of the episode with the Gerard Way interview, I'll be asking some trivia questions about past episodes of the Comic Source. If you go back and listen to those episodes, find the answers. The first four emails that I receive that have all the answers correct will receive a DC Young Animal ash can from the convention. So make sure you're quick on the draw, I guess. And make sure you listen to the episode when it comes out on Monday. So,
Mr. McGee, don't make me angry. You wouldn't like me when I'm angry.
So we're going to start off with TV news. And the first item is actually a panel that Jaden and I attended, and that is The Expanse, which is a really cool science fiction show on the Sci-Fi Channel. It's hard science fiction. That means that like everything that happens in the show is realistic. It's not far-fetched. One thing that stood out to me on the panel, it's not something I necessarily noticed when watching the show, but one of the people that asked a question asked about the fact that they don't really make a big deal about the technology in the show. It's technology in the shows, you know, it's obviously far in the future, but technology is kind of ubiquitous, you know, it's just there in the background. And the writers and the showrunner were talking about how, it's like your cell phone. It's not anything you think about. It's... You know, it's technology, it's part of your everyday life, but there's no reason to really focus on it. And I guess that it was kind of the same way in the books. So it's a really good show. I actually binge watched the whole thing in less than 24 hours, all 10 episodes. And I don't particularly remember why I decided to start watching it. I think that I was actually going through kind of the panels and the news leading up to San Diego, what I wanted to do while I was there. And I saw, this Expanse show, I think I'd heard of that before. Thomas Jane was in it. I'm a big Thomas Jane fan. So I think I decided to check it out. And like right off the bat, it was really good. Like the production values are outstanding. The special effects are really good. And about three episodes in, it really, really hooks you. So that was a really cool panel to go to. Everybody, like all the main characters were there. The panel was hosted by... Adam Savage from Mythbusters fame. He's a big fan of the show. And I got to ask a question. And yeah, it was just really cool. They showed the trailer for season two, as well as like a top 10 list, things you need to be able to do in order to be on the Expanse show. Like, I don't know. It was funny. Like working on the set or whatever. And they also showed a picture of... is it the Novice? Is that what the...
No, I don't remember what the ship was called.
Yeah, there's a big ship that they showed launching that's going to be part of the season two. So, it was really cool. It was a lot of fun. Jade and I had kind of been looking around. This is kind of crappy, but, you know, whatever. First world problems. We had kind of been looking around because I thought I had seen somewhere that there was going to be a signing. Because that would have been really cool to, like, maybe get a chance to take some pictures or meet some of the cast, get some autographs of it, whatever. But we couldn't find it anywhere, right? And then as I was going through and putting this list together of show notes for this episode, I come across, it was on actually Thomas Jane's Twitter, I think. He's like, oh, Sunday I'm going to be at this little booth at San Diego all day. Stop by, say hi. And he was there all day, just a little, and it wasn't like it was the WB booth or the Fox booth or, you know, the Warner Brothers booth or whatever, or the, you know, Entertainment Earth booth, you know, the ones that are like really crowded with people because there's celebrities there all the time. It was just like just a little booth that we totally could have gone by and talked, you know, Deep Blue Sea and whatever. And I was like, oh, that kind of sucks. So then I'm going along, you know, doing some more research, and there's one of the guys on the show. His name's Cass Anbar. He plays one of the main characters on the show. I happen to go to, like, his Facebook or something. And on his Facebook, like, right there on has his, like, his profile, not his profile picture, but, like, the banner. It's, like, San Diego Comic-Con 2016, and it's, like, Artist Alley, and he lists three of the days, and he lists, like, the Artist Alley booth he's going to be at. And, I mean, it's Artist Alley. It's, like, right there. It's, like, even easier access than, like, a full booth. So we could have definitely talked to him. So I was just like, oh, man. You know, I had looked everywhere. I guess I should have checked the social media of all the people that were in the show. We'll definitely do that next year. Because, yeah, I mean, I'm a huge fan of the show, and I really would have liked to have met them. So if you haven't watched the show, I definitely encourage you to do so. I don't really know that I could be any more excited for season two from anything that I saw. I mean, I'm kind of in a unique position in that I just, like I said, binge watched the whole first season. And so the fact that the next season doesn't come out to 2017 kind of sucks. But yeah, I really, there's nothing I could have seen that would make me more excited for the next season. But I certainly didn't see anything that like makes it where I'm going to be disappointed or anything like that. So it's a really great show. I'm really excited for it. So what are your thoughts, Jaden?
I think I mentioned on the show a while back when I watched this show, because it's one of my, I kind of felt like I wanted a sci-fi show that I really liked. Like, not like the network, but an actual like sci-fi show that's not superhero. And I watched this and I was blown away. I wasn't expecting it from sci-fi, because I haven't really seen much from them recently that's been that great. It kind of seemed like now this is the channel that makes Sharknadoes. But no, it's definitely good. I'm much like you. I'm definitely looking forward to the second season.
And you haven't seen it, right, Manny?
No, I don't even know what that is.
All right. So if you want to continue to be on this podcast, you have to watch The Expanse. It is so good, man. It is.
It'll honestly be like no problem. You'll get to the third episode and then you'll want to watch the rest of it like right now.
Yeah, totally will. All right. The next show we're going to talk about is Wynonna Earp. I don't think either one of you guys have watched this, right?
No, I had never even heard of it until I went to Comic-Con this year, honestly.
Benny? Never heard of it, but that's about it.
Yeah, this is another show that comes on sci-fi. I'd heard of the comic. I think it was released kind of back toward the end of the Bad Girl craze. Earp, of course, as a reference to Wyatt Earp, famous American lawman back in the 1800s. So it kind of came up on my radar as far as the show because of Gail Simone, actually, on Twitter. She was always singing the praises of the show, how it's got, like, the main character is a female, and she, like, kicks ass and whatever, and it's kind of cool. So it's another show that I tried to watch it before San Diego, but I just didn't have enough time. It didn't quite hook me the way that The Expanse did. I watched the first episode, and I thought it was okay. I watched the second episode. The second episode was a lot better than the first, but I just didn't have time to watch it all. But it was pretty interesting, and I had hoped to sit down with the cast because they were signing at the IDW booth on a couple of the days, but they were just way too busy. Their schedule was like totally packed, full of interviews and such. So I think it's a pretty good show. I think if you're a fan of like Buffy, you would really like it. Because it's kind of that ensemble kind of cast with, you know, the main character being a female, and she really does kind of kick butt. So they announced that there's going to be a season two at Comic-Con. So there's a link, and I should mention for The Expanse, there's a link also to the article. You can read more about the panel. So there's a link in the show notes as well for Wynonna Earp if you're interested. Like I said, I didn't get to meet any of the cast or whatever, but they were all there. They had a big line. They were super nice interacting with their fans from what I could see. They looked like they were very happy to be there. So that's kind of cool. And the show is not so big that it's like they were mobbed, but you know, there was a good crowd there. The IDW booth was crowded for their, for their panel, and it's not like one of those things like Arrow, where you know it's a giant line that takes up the entire WB booth, and you walk along, and the cast barely looks up from signing or whatever. I mean, they were stopping to take selfies and pictures with the fans that they were signing autographs for and everything. So that's really cool. Next up, we have Fear the Walking Dead. Now, you don't watch this one, right, Jaden?
No, I've seen. I'm actually caught up on Fear the Walking Dead.
And this one, you watched this one as well, right, Manny?
Just the first season. I gave up on it after the end of the first season.
Well, hasn't there only been one season?
Yeah, but it's halfway through the second season, though. It's on its break.
Okay. Well, there's three articles in the show notes talking about various stuff here, The Walking Dead. So if you want to know more, you could check those out. You have anything to add, Jaden?
I think I would try it out again, Manny. I think that the characters get more interesting. I think just because they don't seem as advanced as the regular cast of the regular Walking Dead, that you might be over the, like, house. Because, like, if you watch The Walking Dead, either most of the people are pretty soft, or they're not, because it's already, like, past the time where zombies have happened, because it's after Rick wakes up. But I think the second season's been more interesting, personally. I think that the characters in the main part of this show, I'm going to keep watching it. I wouldn't say it's a great show or anything, but I don't know. I think it's interesting.
All right. Next up, we have the main event, The Walking Dead, Hall H panel. Well, Fear the Walking Dead was a Hall H panel as well. So they didn't release a lot of information about The Walking Dead, probably less information really than they ever had before, especially with, like, showing footage from the next season. And I think it's kind of for an obvious reason, you know, with the super crazy cliffhanger, who's dead, who's not, at the end of last season, it's kind of hard to show any footage of the upcoming season, because then it's like people are going to start, oh, well, we didn't see such and such person. We didn't see such, you know, and they'll narrow it down and they'll figure out, you know, who got killed by Negan at the end of the last season. So, as I said, not a lot of information, but there's a couple links to a couple articles, and you can go and check it out. And they did tease that The Kingdom is coming, which is a location in the comic. It's like a high school that some survivors kind of fortify and, like, build a makeshift wall around to protect themselves from the walkers. So you can go and check that out if you like. Anything to add, Manny?
No, just need to watch the first 10 minutes of it to figure out who's dead. I just have this really awful feeling that they would start with, like, somebody's backstory in the first episode.
Oh yeah,
and then swing back to Negan, like, right at the end, and leave it as a cliffhanger for the second week.
Yeah,
and then you're just, like, mad. That sounds like something they do.
I don't think that they would save it for the second week. I think it would be the end of the first episode.
I know, but they're gonna make you wait a little bit longer, and it's gonna be annoying, but. Yeah, it's getting different with all the colonies and stuff. So we'll see. I mean, I'm sure it's getting real expensive to keep some of these actors around.
Now, what if it wasn't even
the best part of the show? I think it's really been great the past couple seasons.
What if it wasn't even the end of the first episode or the beginning of the second? What if they pushed it all the way back to, like, the second half of the season?
The mid-season finale?
Well, I mean, then you wouldn't have any of the main characters for the first half of the season.
Well, you could. You just do flashback stuff.
Or maybe, like, setting up some of the other colonies. But, man, that would suck.
People would be pissed. I don't think that would be good for ratings.
Sorry, knocked over the mic.
Somebody's dropping the mic. It's too early.
Yeah. All right, next up, we have Supergirl. Now, I only watched the first episode, and, you know, clearly the big news was that it moved over to the CW with the rest of the main DC TV properties. And then we've seen just in recent days pictures of Superman. I didn't think anything of it when they cast the actor, but just seeing the pictures in recent days, he doesn't, to me, look big enough compared to her to really be Superman. But, you know, whatever. I don't really watch the show. It's not that big of a deal to me. I thought his costume looked different and kind of cool. So, I know you didn't watch it either, right, Jaden?
No, I've also only seen the first season. And, yeah, he does not look like Superman to me.
You've only seen the first episode.
Yeah, and I just I didn't like it, but I don't think it's aimed at me. So now, I don't think I'm the correct demographic.
Did you watch the whole season, Manny?
Yeah, I watched the whole season. It was I don't know. It had some good moments, but most of it was really I don't want to say scattered. The way they were trying to force some themes on the show. And then I'm not sure if maybe it was because it was just so far away from the other ones. But I was kind of really hopeful for the show now that it's going to go over to the CW. Just I can probably see a little bit more continuity between all the shows. So hopefully they make some changes. But the whole addition of Superman was just weird. Yeah. Not just the actor, but just the fact that it's like, okay, we're going to put Superman in it. I don't know. They had talked about how they wanted to make sure that she stayed on her own. She didn't need Superman. That, you know, it's all about Supergirl and female power, whatever you want to call it. But it goes to the CW, and immediately what they add Superman. And then nothing against the actor or anything. He just looked weird. Like, just like you said, Jace, he doesn't look big enough. I thought the same thing, but you know what? I'm just going to shrug my shoulders and see what happens. So, I mean, if it's going to be on the CW, it's got to get a little bit better, right? So, we'll see what happens in the fall, but that's going to be weird. I mean, you're going to have Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. And so you just need to bring back Constantine, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. So,
I mean, we have two Mondays now because of Gotham. I wonder if they're going to continue to have that same time slot.
Yeah, I was thinking maybe they want to move that to 9 since they're like making it like a little bit grittier and a little bit darker. I mean, it already has the following anyway, so you don't necessarily need to, push it for prime time 8 o'clock. And then plus in the fall, 9 o'clock would be better because Monday Night Football would be over if you're going to be watching that, or if you're going to watch Supergirl, it'd be over. But when it came to choosing between the two, it just depended on the episode. Sometimes I'd watch Supergirl, sometimes I'd watch Gotham, because near the end, Gotham got pretty ridiculous.
Yeah, the end of the second season kind of missed the landing.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, I feel like I'm kind of surprised, too, that they brought Superman into Supergirl so quickly. You know, I just would have thought that they could have had him in the show more this next season, in the same way they had him in the first season, you know, where, you know, he kind of shows up in the background. You can't really tell it's him. You don't even need to necessarily cast an actor yet or mention him or have hear his voice or whatever, and kind of build it up more, like build up the anticipation. Instead, all of a sudden, boom, he's already on the show. And then the other thing I wonder is, okay, so now are they going to stop referring to him with all the coy terms now that he's on the CW, you know, like your friend in blue, or, you know what I mean? Because I only watched one episode and it bugged me about, like, just call, his name is Superman, just call him Superman. But I'm sure because it was on CBS, it was probably had to do with, like, rights or whatever. If they actually said the word Superman, they'd have to pay, like, the Siegel and Schuster family money or something like that. So, I don't know. Maybe it'll still be that way when it's on the CW, which is kind of ridiculous.
And it could be that people are making too much out of it. Maybe he's only going to be in a couple scenes, and they were just like tired of making him all shadowed and stuff, and just wanted to make it so if he does appear, he has a actual person. He's like an actual actor that they cast.
Yeah, I suppose time.
That is true.
I suppose time will tell. What about the next item, Flash? I know you both are huge fans of the Flash. There really wasn't much news that came out of it. They did show kind of a teaser trailer, first look or whatever, but they didn't give a lot. I mean, we know Flashpoint's going to be a part of it. I almost feel like there doesn't really need to be a lot of news about Flash just because it's already, like, super popular.
Yeah. And we already all know pretty much Flashpoint, so they probably don't want to give away the details because it's probably going to be similar in a lot of ways. So the details that they probably would give out are probably give away too much. Or at least some of us know Flashpoint.
Manny, what are your thoughts on Flash?
You know, with so much that they've done and they can do, especially now with the Flashpoint storyline, this is one of those where I'm just going to hang on for the ride. because I've enjoyed the first two seasons. So, you know, I have no reason to doubt that the third season would be bad. But, you know, you got to be careful with interchanging timelines. And, you know, is he going to, at the end of the season, is he going to fix everything and go back? Or is it going to be different? Or because in TV and comic books are very distinctive things. So sometimes what you'd expect is not what they do. Yeah, and especially with some of the characters jumping ship to like Legends of Tomorrow and such. It's going to be really interesting to see what they do. And is this something where the Legends of Tomorrow come into play because of the fact that they can time travel? So yeah, it's going to be good.
What about Arrow, Manny? There's a couple of, there's actually quite a bit of information about Arrow. We had a first look, they teased more Mr. Terrific, and also David Ramsey plays Diggle confirmed that the Flashpoint effect was going to be, the Flashpoint storyline in Flash was going to have an effect on Arrow, and also showed off some of his new costume.
You know, if you're gonna for the Flash, for Arrow, first thing I would love for them to do is to kind of give this whole Oliver Queen and Felicity thing a break, because I felt like it really got annoying, especially the second part of the last season. It wasn't that great of a season anyway, because I from the beginning I thought Damian Darhk was a terrible choice, but that also stemmed from the fact that the season before he had defeated Ra's al Ghul, and that just made it really hard to for anyone to step in. With the way they left things at the end of the season, everybody kind of going their own way, and it kind of staying. I think if you kind of keep it at the core of Diggle, who's supposed to be getting a new mask, and a new or headpiece, whatever you want to call it, and Felicity, I guess, just kind of get back to basics, because I think they, with the success of the second and third season, I think they went a little too far. So just get back to Oliver Queen fighting that, you know, that type of bad guy. I don't really care if they continue to bring people from you know, Batman's rogues or whatever. But give me back a little bit more Oliver Queen and a lot less, you know, Oliver and Felicity, because that's I think what's hurt Arrow the most.
What about you, Jaden?
I agree. I hate when they do this. I think I've said before that I thought that they were done with all of the CW like relationship drama, and I thought, well, I kind of expect some of it because it is still a CW, but this last season regressed a lot. But I'm going to keep watching because I do like the characters. I'm invested in the show, and yeah, I don't feel like it can be any worse than the last season, so I'm looking forward to it.
That's the way to describe it. I don't think it can get any worse.
Yeah, I think if you read those articles, I kind of skimmed it myself. It talks about wanting, yeah, to get back to more of what made the show popular, which is kind of like the Team Arrow dynamic.
Yeah.
Get away from, yeah, I don't think the supernatural thing worked too well. I think they wanted to try something different. I don't know that it was that well received. Legends of Tomorrow is the next TV show. And all I can say about that is I did talk to Mark Guggenheim at the show, San Diego, and expect a lot of Justice Society, a lot of Justice Society characters. That's all I can really say about that. Just think there's some favorites of Jeff Johns. And we know, you know, of course, he kind of oversees the TV side of DC. So I would expect that. I would expect a much different feel than the first season of Legends of Tomorrow. And I remember before the show even came out, we talked about the fact that we kind of doubted there would even be a season two just because of the high cost of production. But season one was enough of a success and clearly made them enough money that there's going to be a season two. So you have anything to add, Jaden?
No, not really. I enjoyed the first season, not immensely. This was like Arrow and Flash, I watched every week. And I probably watched Arrow because I was more invested in the characters and I was just hoping that it would be a good episode each time. But I kind of fell behind at the end of Legends. I didn't even watch the finale when it came out. It was probably like a couple weeks after that I watched like the last four episodes. And it was all right. I like some of the characters, but I'll probably watch the second season, but I'm not too excited about it.
Manny?
I'm more interested in the team above, like Reverse Flash, Captain Cold, a couple of the other guys, Damian Dark, meanwhile in the Legion of Doom. So that's going to be kind of cool to see a team up of villains, because regardless of where you are in the time stream, if you're facing one bad guy with Firestorm and all those other guys, it is kind of one-sided. But now that you have a group of bad guys, it does make things a little bit more interesting. And you start adding characters from the Justice Society. That's going to be pretty cool. Just to see more different characters on the screen. That's always been really cool. And it's nice to see, because you don't get stuck seeing the same characters over and over again. Like when Arrow brought in Vixen, that was a great episode. Or when Arrow, even though he had his own show, had John Constantine on. Or one of my favorite of the Legends of Tomorrow is when they had Jonah Hex on.
Yeah, it was a good episode.
Yeah, so they don't necessarily have to have them on every episode, but just kind of expanding the DC, character base for people, especially if you don't read comics, because you never know, you can see somebody and it'll spark your interest for a specific book. And you'll go look, and maybe you'll look for it in trade, and you can start reading that way.
Yeah, I think that Jonah Hex is actually, they said that he's supposed to appear also again this season, so I'm sure that pleases fans of Jonah Hex. So the next item is iZombie. Now, I know you don't watch it, Jaden. What about you, Manny? Is that a show that you're caught up on at all?
No. No, not at all. I haven't even watched one single episode of that.
Okay, so from what I could understand from reading the article, it's going to be a bit of a change in the format of the show going forward. Going to be a little bit more of a procedural crime drama, as well as there's going to be kind of an inner circle, if you will, of people that that the main character knows. That are going to kind of be in on the secret, because I guess something that has bothered fans of the show is how the fact that people not divulging other things to people they obviously would, and it's just like, it's a frustrating for the viewer. I know that always bothers me when I'm watching something or reading a book or whatever, and it's like, if person A would just tell person B what's going on, it would like so clean up everything about like what's going on. It drives me crazy because it's not necessarily realistic. So I guess they're gonna make a concerted effort going forward that she's gonna kind of have an inner circle of people who know her secret, know she's a zombie and everything, and as I said, more of a procedural solving crimes and such. So if you're a fan of iZombie, reach out and let us know if that's something that sounds good to you, because I'm curious to know viewers of the show if they think that's a good idea or not. Next up, we have Gotham. Now, did you watch all of the last season of Gotham, Jaden?
Yeah, I saw the whole thing.
What'd you think?
I thought that I enjoyed the whole thing, but the first half of the season was really good, and the second half of the season was mediocre.
Okay.
So, I'm looking forward to the next season. I caught the end of the Gotham panel, actually, when I was waiting for the Expanse panel. It was pretty interesting. I caught the questions part, and it pretty much had all the people except for Bullock. It had everybody except for him on the panel, so it was pretty cool. I don't know, it's an interesting dynamic in the show, because most shows, as it goes forward, things somewhat get better, but like the goal of this show is to get, or at least they said this in the panel, that it was to get bad enough for Batman to be actually needed in Gotham City, because he isn't like necessarily 100%. But it's going to be cool seeing the whole city just kind of fall into chaos.
Manny, what are your thoughts?
I know it started off really, really strong, and then I felt like it spiraled down just toward the end. For me, personally, I just felt it got worse and worse and worse. There's only a couple of episodes near the end that I really enjoyed, but it kind of went away from what they originally wanted to do, and that's to tell the story of the city of Gotham pre-Batman. And it seemed like as soon as they got one or two popular characters that you got to see, they got really excited, and now they've added everyone in as they go, and kind of rushed them to have them be adults. Well, not adults, but you're saying that this is all pre-Batman, but it can't be. It's not. It's like an Elseworlds story, but for what it is, it's fine. I have no problem with it, but for what the original intent of the show was, it's way off. And I didn't enjoy the second half of the season quite as much as the first half. The whole part with Jerome during the first few episodes was amazing, and then it was quite simple. Well, there was one guy, and everybody thought he was going to be the Joker, and then the way they wrapped that up, where he kind of became just a catalyst for others, I thought it was done really well. And then the second part where they were trying to introduce the Court of Owls and Hugo Strange doing all these really crazy experiments, and you see some of the villains there, a more advanced Edward Nygma and other characters. I thought that if you were going to use Fish Mooney in a few episodes, you might as well use her to her talent, which I thought she did okay on the first season, but she was just there kind of randomly. And then one of the last scenes with Firefly and Mr. Freeze, I thought was really weird. And then the very end with the whole thing with the bus, it really didn't get me excited for the next season. So, yeah, it's gone to a very odd place, and I'm going to keep watching just out of curiosity, but not something I'm necessarily excited about as I was before.
I think part of it for me is that, you know, it was supposed to be like the story of Jim Gordon, right?
Yeah.
And it's basically, yeah. And it just seems like it's not necessarily anymore.
I'd say it's about 50% Jim Gordon and then 50% all the rest of the villains.
Yeah, so. Oh, well. I mean, it seems to be doing well in the ratings, so I don't expect it to go away anytime soon. Next up, we have Powerless. So NBC debuted the trailer. I didn't hear anybody talking about it. So this is basically, it's a comedy, it's a sitcom, it's half an hour. It has Alan Tudyk, among others. And it's basically the story of kind of an insurance company, kind of set in the DC universe, sort of. You're not really going to see any super-powered people, but, like, so if there really were super-powered people, you'd need to have insurance against, like, you know, if a supervillain, a superhero fought and, like, damaged your house or a business or whatever. And so it's going to be a comedy dealing with that. So either one of you guys hear anything about it?
No, I've only really read about this. I'm looking forward to it. I think it's going to be pretty funny.
Yeah, I definitely plan on checking it out as well. Next up, we have Legion. So this is from FX. You know, we know Fox has the rights to the X-Men. Legion's a pretty powerful mutant in the Marvel universe, son of Xavier. I watched the trailer. It didn't look very good to me at all. It's kind of they're changing a lot of stuff from who Legion is in the comic, and it sounded very cliche. Didn't look good at all. I won't be bothering. Did either one of you guys watch the trailer?
I watched the trailer. It seems like it's a hard topic to really show in a trailer. I'm going to watch it and see, because FX makes good shows. I'm thinking that it just probably doesn't play well in a trailer. Or maybe it's just going to not be that good, but I'm going to check it out.
I know, it just bothered me how much they changed things from, I mean, just make the show and call it something else. It just bugs me that they're calling it Legion when it doesn't resemble anything about the Legion character in the comic, like, at all. You know, it just seems like they're calling it that just to try to get people who are X-Men fans to check it out, you know? And it just bothers me. So, what about you, Manny? Do you have any thoughts? Did you check out the trailer at all or anything?
No, I haven't seen that trailer. And I don't really know much about the character either.
Yeah. All right. Well, next up we have Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. The big news there, of course, is that a Ghost Rider is going to be in it. And this is the most recent version of Ghost Rider, the Robbie Rodriguez, I think his name is, version. And I've always been a huge fan of Ghost Rider. I love the character. I love the concept. One thing I didn't like about this most recent version was, so, like, the demonic spirit or whatever is in a car, like a muscle car, and it, like, possesses Robbie through the car. And it's going to be that version with the car. They unveiled the car at the Marvel booth on Saturday. And I don't know. I mean, it's cool that Ghost Rider is going to be on the show. But part of the thing that made him so cool was that he drove this motorcycle made out of flames. Especially, you know, being that it was the 70s, you know, Hell's Angels, Mystique, and all that kind of stuff when Ghost Rider debuted. And I just think he loses some of his mystique when he's in a car. So I kind of wish it was it could still be Robbie Rodriguez or whatever, but just put him on a motorcycle. Or he could go classic and have it be the Johnny Blaze version. But it is what it is, I guess. So I don't watch Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. And as much as I like Ghost Rider, this won't make me watch it. If it was the Johnny Blaze version on the motorcycle, I'd be much more inclined to check it out. But as it is, I probably won't. Now, are you caught up on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., Jaden? Is that a show that you watch?
I think I'm like halfway through the second season. Right? Or is it the third season that just came out?
Yeah, it was the third season.
Okay, I'm like, I started the third season. I'm not caught up. I usually go and I'll watch like 4 episodes and then I'll not watch anything for a couple weeks and then I have to figure out what episode I'm on. But I don't know. It's not that I don't enjoy it. It's just, it doesn't really, it's never hooked me really. It's not that it's bad or anything. I kind of feel like Ghost Rider should be in the Netflix universe though. I feel like a rated PG or PG-13 show doesn't really work for him. He seems a little bit too dark for that, in my opinion.
Well, I'd be fine if they put this version of Ghost Rider on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and like the original OG motorcycle riding Ghost Rider in the Netflix. That would be cool. What about you, Manny? Thoughts on Robbie Rodriguez Ghost Rider in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.?
I actually like the choice because it's kind of like what you guys were talking about. I don't think you could put Johnny Blaze on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. I don't think he would fit very well, but to put Robbie Rodriguez, I think that fits a little bit better. With what they've done so far in the third season, with what they did in the third season, it kind of does make me wonder where they're going with it, just because of what happened in the third season, and I won't really go too much in depth with that because Jaden hasn't finished it yet. But Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. in general, the first season, I couldn't stand it. Second season, I liked it. Third season, I loved it. And it became one of my favorite shows. They just did such a good job, especially with Daisy, played by Chloe Bennett. And then just some of the other characters, they were just great. And it wrapped up so good. And so I thought maybe they were not sure where they're going to continue with it, but yeah, if you keep this version here and on Netflix, you put Johnny Blaze, that's fine with me. I think that'll work better. And then maybe down the line they can meet, but we know that even though Marvel says they have a cohesive TV movie, cinematic universe, I'm pretty sure that's not true. There have actually been a couple of the actors come out and say that they don't believe that it's the same, because you're never going to get those characters in a movie, and besides Coulson and vice versa. But are we just lobbying for Nicolas Cage to come back as Johnny Blaze?
I don't think anybody wants that.
Well, I don't know. I mean, Jace, Ghost Rider 2, is that one of your top movies?
You know, I've never seen the whole thing.
Well, you don't need to, but
it's bad.
I watched part of it, and it was late one night. I was flipping through the channels, it's probably after midnight, and it was on one of the movie channels. And I started watching it, and I was interested enough after the first 15 or 20 minutes to watch the rest. But I was falling asleep, so I hit the record button on the DVR, but I never actually went back and watched it. Probably just based on the fact everybody told me how terrible it was. I was even disappointed in the first one. I just didn't think Nicolas Cage was a good choice. It would be something I would like to see rebooted, because I'm pretty sure that Marvel itself has the rights to Ghost Rider back. But I'm not. I mean, obviously, since he's going to be in the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. TV show, but I'm not. I'm not sure that there's a lot of demand for a Ghost Rider series, Ghost Rider movie. The fact that they're doing Robbie Rodriguez, if they did a movie and it was that version, I don't know. I want to see the classic version. And the fact that this is the Ghost Rider that appears in the comics right now makes me think, Marvel, whatever they do, that it's going to, whatever they put on the small screen or big screen, that's the way the things are going to be in the comics, even though they're not connected. That's just the way that it is. So, yeah, maybe someday we'll get the real Ghost Rider back. Now here's a show that you both are big fans of, Daredevil. At San Diego, Marvel confirmed a third season of Daredevil. I don't really know that there was much news besides that, but I'm sure both of you are happy about that, right, Jaden?
Yeah, I had no question in my mind that there was going to be a third season, but second season was great. I'm kind of sad that the next season, I think it's not even going to be out until 2018 or something like that, because I think that the Defenders is coming out next year, so I'm sad that it's going to be that long, but I'm happy it's going to keep coming back. It's a great show.
You agree, Manny?
Yeah, I'm glad. I mean, there's no reason why it shouldn't continue. The only thing I would say that I would want is give me more freaking Matt Murdock in the courtroom.
Yeah.
That's if there's anything I'm going to complain about, that's going to be it. They could have easily gone last season with maybe not using Elektra and maybe having Bullseye kind of as a minor antagonist, and just kind of focus more on Matt Murdock in the courtroom. That would have been fantastic, because for me, Daredevil, one of his coolest traits is the fact that he's such a good lawyer. Kind of the same way where She-Hulk is, she's cool as a She-Hulk, but she's also really great in the courtroom. But I'm actually really interested in the Defenders now.
All right. Well, next up we have Punisher. Again, not really much news other than there's an article on Bleeding Cool, link in the show notes, that Marvel, the headline of the article is, did Marvel pretend to announce the same Punisher series they announced in April? So they already announced that there was going to be a Punisher series, officially announced it. And then in San Diego, they kind of re-announced, hey, there's going to be a Punisher series. This is for sure happening. So kind of interesting. Jon Bernthal did show up at the Marvel Netflix TV panel. And he did say that the Punisher is in his bones now. So I guess he kind of feels like this is the role he was born to play. You have anything to add, Jaden?
I'm looking forward to this more than Daredevil, actually, because that was my favorite part of the second season of Daredevil. It's great. I love Jon Bernthal, Punisher. I think that it's the role he was meant to play, he was born to play. I can't wait for this.
Manny, your thoughts?
Yeah, if you told me that I could only watch one Netflix Marvel show, it's going to be Punisher. You can have the rest of them. But if I could only choose one, that's the one I would choose. Such a good character, done so well. That it hurt the second half of Daredevil when he wasn't around as much.
Did you see the teaser for Iron Fist?
No, I didn't get to see that yet.
It's really not. It really doesn't show much. It's probably the only thing that they've shot, honestly. They probably don't have very much footage, but Iron Fist looks good. I can't really see that actor out of his the guy he plays in Game of Thrones yet.
Yeah.
I have to see the show. Kind of funny if you've seen Game of Thrones, because he's kind of a weird character in that show, but I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be a different type of show than the rest of them.
Now, tell me this, because I don't really know much about Iron Fist. Is in the comic books, is he a white guy or is he
Asian? Yeah, he's a white guy. I think he's from, like, New York area or something like that, and then he goes and he, like, trains in somewhere.
Oh, okay.
Eastern. But he's definitely a white guy. And, Defenders also had a teaser come out. It didn't show anything. It only had, this short teaser trailer that just said the Defenders. And I'm looking forward to it. I mean, I think this is really the only thing we have with Jessica Jones coming out soon. I don't think we got anything announced for her. I don't think that they even announced the second season for her show at Comic-Con. I'm sure there's going to be another one, but that might just be a ways off now.
Yeah, I mean, with the way they did it with Purple Man, I thought that was done really well, but maybe two episodes too long, just because he kept getting away, and near the end it just got annoying.
It was kind of weird how they did that. They kept capturing him, but
yeah,
they didn't finish him. Like, they should have just they should have just not captured him one of those times, and it probably wouldn't have felt like it was too much.
Yeah. So, I can see where they can probably, they would maybe not even think about doing another season until they can find the appropriate antagonist. But, I mean, if you put her in the Defenders or if you put her in Luke Cage, it'll work, because she's now established and she doesn't need an introduction or a reason or a specific explanation why she's there. She's there because she's part of that universe, and she has a relationship with those characters, so not a big problem there. Plus, even though Luke Cage is, you can't pierce his skin, I mean, he's still one guy, so he can always use Jessica's help.
I'm interested to see how this, the dynamic in this show is going to go, because we're going to have so many, I think they're going to have like 3 or 4 main characters on the screen at the same time. For a TV show, which is kind of weird. But it'll be cool to see.
I mean, if anyone's going to do it, it's going to be Netflix, because you're not burdened by runtime or even commercials. So,
did you watch the Luke Cage trailer?
No, I didn't.
Oh, man, the Luke Cage trailer is great. I can't wait to watch this. It's going to be so good. He goes into the building. I'm not going to ruin it too much, but he goes into this building and he basically just walks past all these guys just shooting at him and stuff. Like, nothing's even hitting him. It's pretty great. He's very, his power, he was one of my favorite parts about Jessica Jones. And I can't wait for this season of it.
You know, just like Jessica Jones, I don't know too much about Luke Cage besides the, you know, basic what his power is.
Yeah.
So, I kind of want to just keep it that way and keep my expectations low, so that I can really enjoy the show just the way I did with Jessica Jones.
All right, and then the next item, I guess you'd say, is Battlestar Galactica. There was a panel talking about nothing's been confirmed yet. They're working on another, I don't know if you'd say necessarily a reboot. Personally, I thought that the second version of Battlestar Galactica, the Ronald D. Moore, started out good, but it really kind of lost me in the middle. It was such a soap opera and human drama, and I guess that's okay. It just wasn't what I wanted, because, you know, my experience with Battlestar Galactica growing up was this cool science fiction action show. Didn't necessarily have all these character plots that continued from episode to episode. And so I never even finished watching it, which, you know, I know a lot of people are just like, oh my God, it's like one of the best shows ever. And I mean, the fact of the matter is, you could have told that same story without all the science fiction stuff in the background. It could have just been, you know, instead of Cylons, it could have been, you know, some kind of like foreign nationals or some, you know, some other kind of thing just based on Earth. He could have taken away all the sci-fi stuff. So, Richard Hatch, who played Apollo in the original, said that there's plenty of stories to tell in the Battlestar Galactica universe. So why not, you know, reboot again? So I guess it remains to be seen how well it'll be received. I think it is kind of a beloved property at this point. So I think any well done Battlestar Galactica show will attract viewers. I just would like more of the, I mean, there was hardly any actual action in the Battlestar Galactica. You know, that's what I loved about the original one was the space fights and, you know, flying the ships and such. So I don't know. I guess we'll wait and see. Are either of you guys really Battlestar Galactica fans?
I don't know if I've ever seen an episode besides maybe if you were watching an episode around me. I've heard referenced a million times, but never actually really watched it. I guess it's before my time, I think.
What about you, Manny?
No, I've never seen an episode. I'm going to tell you the first thing about it.
All right, then, moving right along. I know both of you watch Game of Thrones. This is one I know absolutely nothing about. So they did tease welcoming Daenerys home in the next season, and also a lot of laughter and love for Hodor at the Game of Thrones panel. So what are you looking forward to in the next season, Jaden? Now, I know that the start of filming was delayed because it's going to be like winter, like bad weather kind of thing. And I think this is filmed in somewhere over in the UK, right? So they needed to wait until more bad weather came, so it wouldn't be so sunny all the time to film. So kind of an interesting problem to have.
Yeah, well, I mean, winter has come at this point. I'm looking forward to it. I loved this last season. It was great. The welcoming Daenerys home is basically her going to Westeros, going to, like, her rightful, or what some people may think of as her rightful, like, she owns it, basically, because she should be queen of it, and she's going to take it back for herself, so that's basically what that's talking about. But I'm looking forward to it. I mean, it's a great show. I mean, there's a reason that everybody watches it.
Manny?
Heck yeah. It's going to be I don't even know what to expect anymore. I mean, the TV show has surpassed all of the novels, so there's everything's up in the air and kind of a surprise now. There's not a bunch of people kind of coming around. I mean, I know it's always different, but people are always like, you know, the book this or the book that. Now there's nothing to really fall back on, so I think it's pretty cool. The cliffhanger they left the entire show on was amazing. So definitely looking forward to her heading home, and then Sansa Stark when she said winter is here. That was pretty cool, because how long ago has it been how many years has it been since we've been waiting for winter to show up and finally? So there's so many things coming together, and we know there's only two more seasons, and they're a little shorter seasons, and you know that's going to be it. So there's going to be a lot of very climatic moments, and who doesn't love Hodor? I mean, that was one of the biggest surprises of the season, of how much of an impact a character like Hodor had now in the entire Game of Thrones lore. You can't, anyone who watches Game of Thrones and you say hold the door, Hodor, you know exactly what they're referring to, and it's such an important moment. So yeah, Game of Thrones, it's gonna be really good, and yeah, we gotta wait a little bit longer, but you need bad weather.
All right, next up we have Sherlock. This is a show like from the time I heard the kind of the reviews or the critical reception for season one, just glowing reviews, people talking about how amazing the show is. I've always wanted to watch it. I went so far as to download the first season. I've never watched it. I've never made the time to watch it. So this is another one. Multiple articles about the next season. Now, the stars of the show, Benedict Cumberbatch and
Martin Freeman,
have both kind of got on to bigger things. They're both appearing in movies these days, so it makes it tough, scheduling-wise, to get together to film Sherlock. And the other thing is that, you know, the length. So this season's only 4 episodes or 3 episodes, but they are like 90-minute episodes, so they're almost like mini-movies. And everyone involved...
It's always been, though.
Yeah, and everyone involved loves doing the show. They love getting together. It's like, you know, a family reunion when they get together. So there's no plans to cancel it anytime soon. But, you know, it's been like 2 years since the last season came out, so... we may continue
at this point. It's going to be 3 years after this next one comes out.
Yeah, we may continue to see it just take a really long time just due to scheduling. And that's not necessarily that uncommon when it comes to shows in the UK. Sometimes they have these long breaks in between. So, you haven't watched any Sherlock either, right, Manny?
No, none.
But Jaden, you're a big fan.
It's so good. There's 3 seasons. I think that there's 4 episodes in the first season and the second season, and there's like 6 or 8 in the third season. I think it's 6. And they're 1.5 hours each, and you can watch every single episode on its own, and it stands pretty well on its own. So I feel like you guys are just missing out on like 14 amazing movies. That's what I feel like you guys are missing out on.
I will watch it someday.
It's so good. I guess you have a whole another year to get caught up for the season 4, because there's 3 years. I mean, it reminds me of Curb Your Enthusiasm, kind of, because it feels like they can do the show whenever they want to come back for it. Just like Larry David on HBO, whenever he wants to do another season of Curb Your Enthusiasm, they're all for it.
Yeah, exactly.
But, I mean, I'm just happy that they're still making it, that they're not forgetting about it. And I understand, too. I mean, Doctor Strange looks great, so it's not like they weren't doing good things.
And next up, we have Con Man. I'm the only one who's watched this. Now, this is one of those shows that I have to make you two sit down and watch. It's absolutely hilarious. Alan Tudyk and Nathan Fillion kind of playing themselves with an eclectic cast of their friends. Season 2 is going to be appearing on the Comic-Con HQ video on demand channel. So, looking forward to that. It's just a lot of fun. You know, when creators get a chance to do something that's like near and dear to their heart, something that they have total creative control over. They don't have to answer to anybody. They can just do whatever they want, tell the stories they want to tell. It's just so obvious that they're having like a lot of fun doing the show. And it's absolutely hilarious. And it's not just Con Man Season 2 that's coming. There's going to be a video game. An app style video game for the phone that's coming up, where you have to kind of run your own convention. And they have the Spectrum.
Nice.
They have the Spectrum comic that's tied into the show. So yeah, it's really cool. And I've had PJ Harzma and Shannon Eric Denton, who are involved with Con Man, on the show before. One of these days, Alan Tudyk is going to come on and talk about Con Man. I've talked with PJ about doing that, maybe before the video game drops. But yeah, man, that video game, they've been working on it for a long time. It's in beta testing in Australia right now. I'm really looking forward to that. And basically, it's kind of like a Sim City kind of game, where you have, you know, you start out at the small convention and you have to like manage all aspects of the convention. You have to get talent to show up. You have to control the lines to decide what kind of food you want to serve or have there available for your con attendees. And then gradually, as you kind of manage the convention, you try to grow it bigger and bigger until you get to the point where you can hold a Shaka Con. And that's like... The final thing. So it sounds like it's a lot of fun. And all the creators involved like love doing the show, and really, really looking forward to it. I wish I could have gone to the Comic-Con panel, but unfortunately it was like the first panel on Friday, so that probably wouldn't have been a problem. Maybe I could have got in. But the following panel was Fear the Walking Dead, and the panel following that was The Walking Dead. So I have a feeling there were a lot of people that were in the Con Man panel that were there for the Con Man panel, that were there for, you know, Fear the Walking Dead and The Walking Dead. So that's just the nature of things at Hall H. But I guess if you look at it as a positive, there are probably a lot of people that didn't have any idea what Con Man is or was that maybe will now check it out because they were there for the panel. So the next TV show now, I know Jaden's a fan. Do you watch Archer, Manny?
Watch what?
Archer on FX.
You know, I used to, and I just kind of fell behind, and I've never caught up. But yeah, I used to really like that show.
Well, Jaden, give us your thoughts about the news on Archer.
Well, I read the article. There's not a ton of news, which is, makes sense, because Archer doesn't really have that much of a plot, like a recurring plot.
No.
When did you stop watching, Manny?
I am not sure. I think it was sometime in the beginning of the second season.
Oh, man. Like, these past, I don't know, the past, like, two or three seasons have been really hilarious. It's, like, my second favorite animated show behind Rick and Morty, which is, like, far and away my favorite animated show. But it's hilarious. I love Archer. I watched there's a little video in there of a couple of the voice actors doing, like, some lines, and it's pretty good. It's interesting seeing not the Archer characters doing their lines.
Oh.
Next up, we have Preacher. This is one I planned on keeping caught up on, but I watched the first episode, and then I haven't seen more, but we did get a confirmation for season two. Are either of you guys caught up on Preacher?
No, I'm planning on probably binge watching it, I think, because I watched the second and third episode, and I haven't watched any since. It's not that I didn't like it or it didn't hold my attention. I don't know, it's just, I'm just busy, I guess.
What about you, Manny?
Yeah, I'm caught up on it. I'm really enjoying it. Just so weird and different. Can't really describe anything close to it that I can say that it's like it. I guess the only thing I could honestly say that it's even close to it would be like American Horror Story. And I don't know, just the way it's done, I like it. I to be completely honest with you, I still have no idea what the hell's going on, but it's kept my attention. So yeah, it's done well. But yeah, to this moment, I still don't know I have no idea where they're going with this.
All right, and last of the TV shows we have is Lucifer. I didn't watch any of it. It seemed to have a pretty loyal following. It seemed to do well. I mean, they're going to be another season. So, either one of you guys watched Lucifer?
I've watched the beginning of the first episode, and I think I fell asleep. Yeah, I don't know. It wasn't necessarily because of the show, but I don't know. It seemed like the character was interesting. Like, the guy who plays Lucifer, seems like he does a pretty good job. I'll probably watch it at some point, but it's cool to see that it's up back for a second season. Usually I don't give these, like, Fox shows very much of a chance because I don't want to get invested before they cancel it. So.
Manny, did you watch it at all?
No, not at all. I wanted to, but I just really never got around to.
All right, fair enough.
Let's do a head count here. Your brother. The Avengers. That's what we call ourselves. Earth's Mightiest Heroes type thing. Let's do a head count here. Your brother, the demigod, the super soldier, living legend who kind of lives up to the legend. A man with breathtaking anger management issues. A couple of master assassins. And you! You've managed to piss off every single one of them.
All right, movie news. A lot of big movie news. A lot of big movies coming out of San Diego. I will say that, I mentioned this on our previous San Diego wrap-up episodes, Hollywood definitely seems to be taking less of a role in San Diego Comic-Con. I mentioned that the Trolls movie that Justin Timberlake is in, Hall H was barely half full. There was another panel, I'm not sure what movie it was for, but Oliver Stone was there again. You know, huge name in movies, but again, Hall H only half filled. So it seems like unless you're a superhero movie or superhero TV show, people don't really pay that much attention at San Diego Comic-Con anymore. And it almost seems like they need to be moving those DC TV shows from Ballroom 20, which only seats about 2,000 people, into Hall H. I know last year the Arrow panel was in Hall H, I believe. So imagine a system.
I had all of them together in the same panel. Remember, it was like the two-hour, three-hour panel.
Yeah. So, I don't know. It's kind of weird. We've talked before about how if it's a superhero movie, this is your captive audience. You don't really need to promote it at Comic-Con. Maybe your money is better spent elsewhere. I just think it's hit the critical point. It's hit the critical mass where people are just not willing to wait and wait and wait and wait in lines to go see something that, you know, they can see online better and later, you know, like a trailer or such. And plus there were so many other activities outside. So, it's definitely interesting times for San Diego Comic-Con. Things are changing. And I imagine the convention, it's been around for a long time. It'll keep changing with the times and trying to stay relevant. So that being said, obviously the Suicide Squad, DC's been promoting the heck out of it. They debuted the final trailer there. At this point, I feel like we're almost reaching the point where I've seen so much of the movie and the trailers, like, I just want to go and watch the movie. I just want to go and watch the movie now. It looks really good. I hope it does well. If it doesn't, I don't know. That may, I don't know what Warner Brothers does if Suicide Squad bombs. It would be really, really, really bad news. But it was a huge presence, and the people were super excited to see the cast. That part of the floor around the DC booth was absolutely packed on Saturday afternoon. What are your thoughts about Suicide Squad, Jaden?
I feel like I've seen too much of the trailers. I kind of wish I didn't see all the trailers. I feel like, especially like the last trailer I saw in San Diego, I definitely didn't need to see that. But I'm definitely gonna see it. I don't know if it's necessarily gonna bomb. I think it's gonna have a really good opening weekend, regardless of how good it is. I think that they've done a really good job on their marketing, and I think that with all the names that they have on it, that they'll at least get a good opening weekend. But I'm hoping, because it kind of feels like they wanted to do something kind of Guardian Galaxy style, like that type of not theme, but just that type of feeling that kind of captured a bunch of people's hearts and who didn't really even know those characters. But I have a lot of friends who aren't necessarily excited by superhero movies, and they're really excited for this, so I'm really looking forward to it. I'm going to see it next weekend.
Manny, your thoughts?
Yeah, I was just talking to my wife earlier about this, that I'm exiling myself from any Suicide Squad articles, whatever, for the next week until I get to go see it on Thursday night. Very excited about it. I've heard some more things about it, but I didn't finish reading the articles just because I'm done. I just want to watch the movie now. And, I mean, the marketing for it is insane. They've got, Harley Quinn hair dyes at Walmart, specific to the characters. Hot Topic, obviously, seems like it's sponsoring the entire movie. You know, has all kinds of things at their places. Target has big old pop figure, displays with all the characters. I mean, in the radio, they have some original music that was made for the soundtrack. There's a couple of songs that are now hitting mainstream radio. I mean, this is, they're doing quite a bit for this movie. Everyone thought it was going to be the DC movie of the year was going to be Batman v Superman, and I have a very good feeling that this is going to be way better. Again, I'm kind of biased also towards David Ayer because I'm a really big fan of his films in general. So, I mean, he could have been doing any other movie. It didn't necessarily have to be Suicide Squad, but I like his work. But it, you know, with that being said, there's a lot of pressure on this film because it's kind of, it'll really set the tone for the things to come. Even if the other movies are different, obviously, just, you know, you can't compare Wonder Woman and Suicide Squad and other than they're in the same universe per se. But it's going to set tone for things to come for DC because you can't have Batman v Superman come out and not do, so well. And then you can't have Suicide Squad do the same thing because Then you're really failing at setting up anything else in the future. So, very hopeful for this. Crossing my fingers that I love it. And, I'll defend it there.
All right. Another trailer that debuted at San Diego was the Wonder Woman trailer. Now, just from people that I talked to, both at the show and then after coming home, people I work with and such, this is like the trailer that has most people excited. Like, I think this trailer surprised a lot of people. Like, talked to some Wonder Woman, you know, whatever. I wasn't really that excited, but you know, I watched a lot of the trailers that come out of the San Diego Comic Con, and man, Wonder Woman is the one that sticks out to everybody that they really can't wait to see it. Just based on her appearance in Batman versus Superman, I was like, okay, I'm in on Wonder Woman. I had a pretty good idea that it was going to be pretty good. There's nothing in the trailer that I saw that made me more excited about it, but there's also nothing in the trailer that made me think I was wrong to be excited for it. So what are your thoughts on the Wonder Woman trailer, Manny?
The thing that stuck out to me the most was her outfit. When we first saw the promo images, I think it was about 2 years ago, or was it a year ago?
Probably a year.
It doesn't matter. Whenever we saw it, it looked really dark. Almost kind of super Man of Steel-ish, and a lot of people had an issue with that. I know I didn't care too much for it, but when she's coming up the steps on the battlefield, you really see those colors very bright compared to the rest of the scenery. And that grabbed my attention. Lasso of Truth. I mean, everything and anything you want. Wonder why it was. And by the looks of it now, Chris Pine won't necessarily overshadow Gal Gadot, but I think it, more than anything, not to take away anything from the actors, but I think it has a lot to do with Patty Jenkins really like wanting to do this movie, because she said if there's any movie that she wanted to film, you know, it was going to be a war. So, just probably based on her passion, along with the Geoff Johns, it looks fantastic. So, it also helps that she kind of stole the spotlight a little bit in Batman v Superman. So she got some cool points there. But, going forward, it was such a good trailer. And then right at the end, just the way they scored it was just done really well too. So yeah. Awesome trailer.
What are your thoughts, Jaden?
I'm looking forward to it. I think that this is probably, if Suicide Squad isn't going to be good, this is going to be the DC movie that's going to be good, at least in the new DC movie universe. I feel like it's just different. I feel like this one's kind of separate from the rest of them, in a way. I feel like, because, I mean, maybe it's partially because it's going to be set in 1910, or around there. But I didn't have really any doubts that Gal Gadot was going to be, that Chris Pine wasn't going to take away a spotlight from Gal Gadot, because I've seen him in supporting roles, and I don't know, I'm a pretty big fan of Chris Pine. I do think that sometimes he does just slip into playing Chris Pine, but I'm looking forward to it. I like Gal Gadot as Wonder Woman in Batman v Superman. I think it's one of the good things about that movie. So yeah, I mean, this trailer made me, I don't know, I think about much like you, I wasn't more excited because of it, but I didn't become less excited from it.
Another surprise was Justice League footage. They put together a Justice League trailer. Heard a lot of people talking about, it seems like DC is really trying to highlight the fact that there's going to be like humor. Heard people comparing it to in the Marvel Cinematic Universe, where there's a lot of one-liners and little quips and jokes. I kind of hate that everything's constantly compared to Marvel. Like, can DC not be like its own thing? You know, like, people complain that, you know, oh, these movies aren't like fun enough, or they're not, you know, realistic enough, or I mean, no matter what you do, you're screwed. You can't please people. And then DC puts out a trailer and it's kind of lighthearted or whatever, and then they're like, oh, now you're complaining they're copying Marvel. It's just like, can we not just enjoy it for what it, you know, for what it is, please? So I thought it was interesting. One of the things about the Justice League movie I was most worried about was Ezra Miller as Barry Allen, Flash. I can say that I enjoyed his portrayal. It's not at all the Barry Allen from the comics, but I think in this context it can work. And it was kind of an interesting take on the character, and I actually enjoyed it. So, yeah, I thought the trailer was cool. I'd like to see a little bit more of Flash in costume, as well as some more Cyborg. I'm not sure I like the way he looks. It looks a little off to me, but I guess time will tell. But yeah, I have high hopes. High hopes for Justice League. Hopefully it's better than I liked Batman vs. Superman better than Man of Steel, and hopefully Justice League continues the upward trajectory. Hopefully it's a vast improvement, because Batman Superman was only a slight improvement over Man of Steel, so hoping that that they get things right with Justice League. What were your thoughts, Jaden?
I liked it from the preview. I mean, the trailer. I enjoyed the trailer. There are things that I feel like the jokes in the trailer are pretty much probably going to be the main jokes in the movie. I'd be surprised if there's more than two more, like, jokes that they put in there. I don't know. I wish that I feel like they're rushing to Justice League. I would like to have seen some solo movies for each of the characters first. Because, I mean, I know that Marvel did that, and I know you just said that you hate when stuff's compared to Marvel, but I do think that a big team-up movie like this, just it helps so much more when you're already invested in the characters and you've had those characters fleshed out separately. And then when you bring them together, you can just focus on the group dynamic instead of focusing on the characters. Because I feel like they're going to have to do a lot of like introductory stuff for Aquaman and Flash and Cyborg. So I think it's going to be good. I think I'm going to enjoy it more than Batman v Superman. I mean, I enjoyed Batman v Superman, but I had some big problems with the movie, and I did not enjoy Man of Steel. So I think it's going to be on the upward trajectory. I know that David Goyer and Zack Snyder are probably going to take more of a backseat role in this movie.
Yeah, I don't think Goyer's involved at all.
Okay, well, that's good news. And I think Geoff Johns has a lot more to say about it, and I think that Ben Affleck will probably help out a lot more too. So hopefully they'd get enough people around that are know what they're doing. So I'm looking forward to it. I'm definitely going to see it the weekend that comes out, probably midnight showing.
Yeah, your thoughts, Manny?
Yeah, I definitely feel you on the whole thing that why do things have to be compared? All of a sudden they have to make jokes. My thing when people were saying that, because some people mentioned to me that at work, was Batman, Superman aren't necessarily funny. There are times when yeah, they joke, but on the Justice League team, the real comedic relief comes from the Flash, and this is really
sometimes too.
Yeah, and Hal Jordan. But other than that, most of the other characters are really serious. So with the introduction of the Flash, yeah, of course it's going to get a whole lot lighter, because he's that's who he is. He's the funny guy. He's fast. He's quick. He's got little jabs about, especially about Batman, and whatnot. So I really rolled my eyes when I saw that, when people were like, "Oh my god, they put so many jokes in." It's like, well, it's because it's the Flash. Like, have you if you've seen any of the animated stuff that they did over the years, or just in comic books too, also, he's funny. That's just who he is. And so that kind of bugged me when people were talking. But you know, I wasn't as comfortable as I thought I'd be with Ben Affleck as Bruce Wayne. I'm not sure why. Something about it, I didn't quite enjoy it as much as I thought I would. But I guess it's something that I have to see. And then also, I have to see more of Aquaman, because both of those characters just seem kind of, something was off about them. And, it kind of raised some flags in my mind. I'm leaning towards the way, what Jaden was talking about, I have a feeling that the solo movies are going to be so much better than the team-up movies, because they're able to have a certain tone that don't necessarily work with the other characters. Suicide Squad tone doesn't necessarily, well, not work with, for like Wonder Woman, but you can have cameos in each movie. So, maybe having them do their own films and then doing a big event like Justice League would have worked a whole lot better. Heck yeah, I am super excited. I thought Cyborg looked okay. Nothing there. I knew he was going to be all CG, but also it's really early, so, you know, then maybe crispen him up a little bit more I was really happy with the, I was really happy with the way the Speed Force looked every time, Barry went to, kind of slow things down or speed things up in his case. Of course I'm looking forward to this movie, but you know, I have my reservations about it.
All right, next up we have Batman the Killing Joke. This debuted at San Diego Comic-Con. It's the latest in DC's animated universe movies. A lot of controversy based on the fact that apparently Batman and Batgirl get it on, for lack of a better way to put it. I haven't seen it. Based on everything I've heard, I don't plan on seeing it. It certainly caused quite a ruckus. The funny thing is that people are like so upset that this happened, and actually in the Batman Beyond comic that came out, not the most recent one, but the one that when it first came out a while back, this was talked about. You know, that comic is set in the future, the Batman Beyond universe, and in that story, which got, you know, little to no attention and didn't cause any controversy at the time, it was said that Barbara Gordon, Batgirl, and Dick Grayson Robin were like an item, and then Dick like went away, he was away for a while, and something happened between Bruce and Barbara, and Barbara was actually pregnant with Bruce's child, apparently had a miscarriage. So it's not the first time this has been hinted at in the DC universe, but I guess it just wasn't handled that well. I don't really have much more thought on it other than whatever. I don't particularly care for this idea of a story, and I don't plan on watching the movie, so that's all I'm going to say about it. You have any thoughts on it, Jaden?
I'm planning on watching it. I think I'll talk about it more when I watch it. I'm interested in it. I haven't actually read The Killing Joke, which is kind of blasphemous to some people, I guess. I probably should read it. I probably will read it at some point, but I'm going to watch the movie and I'll see what I think about it. I just think it's weird that they would add that in. It just seems like a weird thing to put in.
Manny?
Killing Joke is one of my favorite stories of comic book stories of all time. It's in my top five. With that being said, this movie was a complete waste of time and a complete waste of talent, because you had Mark Hamill coming back as a Joker. You had Kevin Connery back as Batman, which probably is the only really cool part about the whole thing, is that you get to hear Mark Hamill do the monologue, the Joker monologue as Batman is going through the carnival. That was, I mean, it sounds amazing, but you can just close your eyes and do that. The whole thing was, I mean, I don't know what they were thinking of adding that. Maybe to add a little bit of depth to Barbara in that particular story. It was just completely unnecessary and a waste of about 15 to 20 minutes at the beginning of the movie. And then literally right after that, it follows the comic book almost like a read along. And it really doesn't need it. I guess they just thought they needed to add some depth. But, I mean, I thought the animation was terrible. And so it's just boring, because it's not done well, and it's exactly like the book, which some people always want to argue that, you know, the book is better or something like that. Well, yeah, the book is better because it I don't know exactly what it is. It's just, it was boring, it was unnecessary, and with as much controversy as that particular story has brought, I don't know why they keep bringing it up. But, I mean, there's so much with the whole thing with feminist and whatnot, and we had that thing with Raphael Albuquerque and his cover that had to be taken off. But yeah, people love it. You announce that you're making an animated series, a movie about it, and that book is in the top five again, and it's constantly being reprinted, and people keep buying it. I mean, Alan Moore doesn't even like the story as much as most people do, and somehow it made it into continuity, which I don't agree with either. So yeah, overall, a complete waste of time. And if you love the story like I do, you really don't. I mean, you're gonna watch it just because, just out of curiosity. But it just leaves a bad taste in your mouth. And I really hope that's it. That we're done. I mean, especially with Rebirth and everybody moving forward. And now you did the animated film, I really hope that they really put this in the Disney vault and lock it away for more than 10 years.
All right. Sounds good. Next up, we have a little article about Marvel Studios getting a new logo. Did you guys watch the little video?
No, I didn't.
Oh, they're making Marvel a little bit bolder, and that's it?
Well, no. Okay, so you know how in the past, like, when the movie would start, the Marvel logo would show, it would, like, flip through pages of the comic? It would show,
yeah.
Now it's going to show clips from the movie as the camera pans back to the Marvel logos thing. So it looks okay. I mean, I'm not a... I don't know that this deserves its own, like, article and trailer, and they made a big thing about it. But if you want to check it out, the notes are the link is in the show notes. Next up, we have Doctor Strange. Some of the costumes were on display at the Marvel booth, so that was interesting. And then there was a second trailer, a little more in-depth. In fact, if you do a search for Doctor Strange trailer, there was one article I saw on, I can't remember what website it was, but it basically breaks the trailer down, like, frame by frame, you know, and you all these Easter eggs and whatever, you know. And when I feel like when you get to that point, it's like, why are you watching them? What are you going to go watch the movie and see? You know what I mean? Like, don't you still want to be, like, surprised? But anyway, you know, everybody loves the Marvel movies. And, you know, I still haven't seen them all, but I did watch the most recent one, Captain America: Civil War 2. Really blew me away. So I definitely plan on seeing Doctor Strange. I don't know that it's one I'll see immediately on opening weekend, like Suicide Squad and Justice League and Wonder Woman, but I will go see Doctor Strange in the theaters. And I know you're a big Benedict Cumberbatch fan, Jaden, so I know you're excited for Doctor Strange.
This movie could be terrible, but he's going to be great. Doctor Strange. That's just what... I've never seen Benedict Cumberbatch be anything short of amazing in any role that he's been in. I don't know. There's something about him. I mean, to be... I don't think it's a out of the way to say that he's a weird-looking dude. And to be that weird-looking and be as popular as you are in Hollywood, that means you got something.
Manny.
I'm going for this movie.
Manny, your thoughts, Doctor Strange?
Yeah, I gotta agree that, you know, he's a great actor. I loved him in, what was that movie called? The
Imitation.
Something Game. Imitation Game, thank you. I thought he was great there. I've seen him in a couple of other films. With that being said, I have no interest in Doctor Strange. I mean, I don't really know much about the character other than he's kind of Marvel's version of Doctor Fate. Nothing. This is one that I won't see in theaters.
Have you seen the trailers?
Yeah, I've seen them.
Oh,
no.
Man.
Yeah, the special effects are gonna look really good on the big screen.
Yeah, I mean, this is just like probably just like Thor Ragnarok. Even with the whole Hulk thing, I'm like, all right. Not necessarily screaming for joy to go see it.
All right. What about Guardians of the Galaxy 2? There was a lot of info on that. They did show some scenes, but not a lot. James Gunn went on social media, basically explained why you're not going to get a lot of footage. Basically, he said that, you know, it's not all done. All the special effects aren't done, and he's reluctant to show. And then there are some people saying, man, if those scenes aren't completed, they can only imagine what they're going to look like when they're completed, because they pretty much look done to them. So we also found out that Star-Lord's father is the Kurt Russell character. There was speculation it was going to be turn out to be Star Fox. Turns out it's Ego, the Living Planet. I'm not sure how that works. I'm not sure why they changed it so much that Ego, the Living Planet, can now shrink down into human form. I don't know where the rest of the planet goes. I don't know. It just doesn't make much sense to me. It almost seems like they said, okay, which cosmic Marvel character has nobody out of the thousands of people who've made predictions, who has nobody chosen? I don't think anybody's chosen Ego the Living Planet. Let's make Kurt Russell Ego the Living Planet so we can say, look, nobody guessed it right. Totally ridiculous. I've never even seen the first Guardians of the Galaxy movie, so I'm not in on Guardians of the Galaxy 2. I'm just kind of whatever at this point about it. But I know you guys both saw it, so you go first, Maddie. What are your thoughts on Guardians of the Galaxy 2?
Well, I'm in, regardless. Anything with... sorry, his name's drawing a blank right now in my head.
Who, Chris Pratt?
Chris Pratt. Yeah, wow, thank you guys. Anything with Chris Pratt in it, you've got my attention already. And with how good Guardians of the Galaxy was, score, soundtrack, I mean, the team worked really well together. It's gonna be, I had no doubt it's gonna be good. Yeah, that's the only question mark is how to explain a planet being your father. That does explain his ego, though.
Sure, it'll be funny.
Yeah, definitely. So, when he finds out that a planet is his dad, that's gonna be probably a good moment on there. And, obviously looking forward to more Bradley Cooper. Vin Diesel's stellar performance also.
But is he going to be Groot? Because we know that he's not going to be full-grown Groot at the beginning of this. I think he's still going to be baby Groot at the beginning of this movie.
Yeah, no, you're right about that. So maybe
he probably only has to record one time.
I mean, it'll take the pressure off his... I'm kind of being sarcastic. He just said like one or two lines the entire movie. So he's more busy getting back... He's busier, I should say, getting back to XXX, which is cool. With Drax and Gamora, it'll be good. It'll be good. I have no doubt. James Gunn did a good job with the first one, and as long as he just sticks to the script, don't fix it. Something if it's not broken, he'll be fine.
All right. Next up, we have Thor Ragnarok. Manny, we already know you're not going to go see it, despite the Hulk gladiator armor had been revealed from the Planet Hulk storyline. And we know there's also going to be some Celestials or Eternals as well. I still haven't seen Thor Dark World, but if Hulk's in it, I'll probably see Thor Dark World before Thor Ragnarok comes out and go see Thor Ragnarok. I'm a big Chris Hemsworth fan. I think he's a really great actor. Does a great job for Thor. Perfect casting there, so... you have any thoughts on it, Manny?
Don't get me wrong. Thor in the Avengers movies been great. I just his solo stories just don't seem to grab my attention. I mean, I love the character. Some of the Loki, that guy was probably the best villain in Marvel Universe. Let me just think about the best one, the best character with the best. Characterization and also just overall I guess it also has to do with how much time they've given him. He's had three movies including being the main antagonist in the first Avengers movie. You might catch me going to watch it, but the Hulk angle doesn't necessarily get me too excited, because besides him doing a pretty good job in the Avengers movies, we haven't necessarily been too thrilled with the other films that he's done. I'm not sure what it is about the Hulk that you can't get right, but they seem to have trouble with the character. And as far as, I don't know, maybe it's just Asgard doesn't interest me as much as other Marvel stories.
What are your thoughts, Jade?
I am so curious to see Hulk fighting in gladiator armor against other, like, Asgardians with gladiator armor. I don't know. It's going to be crazy. I love Darkworld. I thought the first Thor movie was painfully boring. I was like, why would you have a Thor movie where you put it in the desert in New Mexico and you just take away his powers for 85% of the movie? It's just like, I didn't understand it at all. The second Darkworld did the opposite of that. They spent most of the time on Asgard with a bunch of crazy stuff, and it sounds like this is going to be even crazier, so I'm all in. I can't wait for Thor Ragnarok.
All right, next we have Spider-Man Homecoming. We know Vulture is going to be the villain. We know it's going to have a teen drama tone. We know what actor's playing Flash Thompson. Based on what I saw in Captain America Civil War, I expect this movie to be good. And I sure hope they don't let me down. It's going to take more than just a good Spider-Man and Tom Holland. I thought he was the right kind of Spider-Man, the right kind of Peter Parker. Enjoyed him in Captain America Civil War. I just worry that, I don't know that he's strong enough to carry a whole film on his own. So the rest of the film, the rest of the cast is going to need to be strong as well. So,
Michael Keaton is Vulture.
Yeah. That's weird. That's weird to me. So anyway, what are your thoughts, Jaden?
I'm looking forward to it. I think he will have a good time carrying the movie. I have more faith in Jonathan Akers now than I think I have before, especially after watching Gotham and seeing Bruce Wayne. I think his name is David something. He's great on that, so I don't see why Tom Holland would be good at this. I think isn't he like 18 anyway? Isn't he like older? Just he looks really young.
Holland?
Yeah.
I'm not sure how old he is. He does definitely come across as young, though.
But yeah, I'm looking forward to it. Oh yeah, he's 20. Yeah, he's old. He's older. So I'm looking forward to it. He's exactly the type of Spider-Man I think we've been looking for. So,
Manny, your thoughts?
You know, it's a Spider-Man film. Anytime Spider-Man comes around, kind of like Batman, I tend to get excited. With that, I don't expect it to be an amazing movie. I expect it to be a good movie. He seems like a good guy to be Spider-Man, and I have no problem with the other casting of the movie. You know, it's just that with how they've handled Spider-Man and in recent years, it's kind of me just having a safeguard up. Like, let's see it first, and then we'll really judge it or be excited for the future of it. But from what we saw in Civil War, he looks like he's going to be a good Spider-Man. But what about the rest of the cast, and what about the actual plot line of the movie? How is that going to flow? So, especially, I mean, you kind of have a tough job when you're the new guy, you're Tom Holland, and your first villain is the Vulture, played by Michael Keaton, who, you know, he's played so many iconic characters, such as obviously Bruce Wayne, Batman, Beetlejuice, etc. You know, who has a lot of charisma and has the opportunity to overshadow him if it's done incorrectly, even if he's just the Vulture.
Yeah, for the love of God, please don't show me Uncle Ben being killed again.
Yeah, but, you know, Uncle Ben's always going to die, and so is Martha and...
I know, man. But, oh my God, I've seen it enough. Please,
yeah,
can we just...
You're going to see it again.
I just really, really do not want to. Okay, next up we have the Captain Marvel movie. Obviously, they haven't started filming yet. I don't even know if they have a script. But they do have a person playing Captain Marvel, Brie Larson. I myself was always holding out hope for Emily Blunt. I know a lot of people were hoping for... what's her name from Battlestar Galactica?
I cannot remember.
Oh, it's going to drive me crazy. Anyway, it's Brie Larson, Academy Award winner Brie Larson. I don't know that I've ever seen her in anything. So, I'm not a...
She was in 21 Jump Street.
Then I have seen her in something because I've seen that movie, but I do not remember her. So, anyway, hopefully she does a good job. I don't know. I'm not a giant fan of Captain Marvel. I always preferred her as Miss Marvel. To me, Captain Marvel will always be the male version, not because I'm sexist or anything, but just because that was the first Captain Marvel I knew, and I thought he was awesome. Katie Sackhoff is who I was thinking that people wanted. So anyway, like I said, not too many details, but I guess we'll see.
That's Carrie Danvers they're doing, right?
Carol Danvers, yeah.
Carol. Yeah, because they're doing her a big disservice in the Civil War title right now.
Yeah, I think so.
So, yeah, it's supposed to be, you know, pick a side. And after reading issue 4, my personal opinion
is... Nobody's going to be picking her side?
No, it's just a lot... It makes sense. Tony's side makes just a lot more sense as to because he discovers how
Ulysses' powers work.
Yeah, how his powers work, and how it's more of an algorithm than actual prediction,
not a certainty.
Yeah, and so
it's the whole Minority Report story all over again.
Pretty much, yeah. So, and then just the way she handles She-Hulk waking up and kind of to promote her agenda, I thought that was really shitty of her to do. And I just, if you really want to boost the character, I don't think this was the way to go. So I don't know. There's a couple more issues to go, and maybe she'll change her mind, or we'll see how it gets resolved. But yeah, as far as like civil.
Go ahead.
Yeah, as far as the Civil War, it's kind of, they're kind of making her out more as the villain. I see her more as a villain than somebody who's fighting for a. She seems to be playing more of a villain than anything else.
Yeah, she's never. I mean, if you know the character, if you've read her all these years, that kind of makes sense. She's always been a character of extremes. The thing that just bothers me most about it is the fact that this is, like, the longer the series goes on, the more and more it's just a blatant ripoff of Minority Report. Like, come on, really? Annoying Marvel. Enough with the big events. I mean, now you can't even make them original ideas.
Yeah, because the last issue 3, was fantastic. I love that issue. The courtroom banter and the backstory of why Hawkeye did what he did. And then issue 4, I thought it started well also with Tony, like, actually taking the time to sit everyone down and explaining his point, which I thought was surprising even for him to, and he's telling everybody this and kind of looking, Steve Rogers in the eye, like him specifically, because of what happened at the first Civil War. And him not wanting the things to escalate. I thought that was really done really well. But then all her actions, because he keeps extending like an olive branch, and she just keeps pretty much saying, no, this is the way I want to do things, and this is just the way they're going to be. So, it's not really a side most people would want to side with, especially because nowadays when you're talking about preemptive arrests and things like that, I don't think that fits well with a society right now.
All right, next up we have Black Panther. They showed a featurette with Chadwick Boseman. He's, of course, is going to be playing Black Panther. We saw that in Captain America Civil War. We also saw some of the other actors who've been cast. Their roles were confirmed. We talked about this specifically, Jane and I, on the podcast before about Michael B. Jordan. The speculation was he was going to be Manape, and we just didn't understand how it was going to work. He's such a thin guy. You know, not that he's not ripped as he was in Apollo, or Creed, rather. But at the time, I said I hoped that he was going to be playing Eric Killmonger instead. It may seem to make more sense. And that's indeed who his role is. So if you're excited for the Black Panther movie, I encourage you to go check out the featurette. Yeah, it looks like it's going to be pretty good. I'm much more excited for Black Panther than I am for any of the other Marvel movies coming down the line, be it Guardians of the Galaxy 2, Thor Ragnarok, Spider-Man Homecoming, Doctor Strange. None of those have me excited as Black Panther does. So, and I'm not necessarily a Black Panther fan, but I just thought that Boseman did such a great job in Civil War 2. And he just looked cool. And even the little epilogue, little scene at the end of Captain America Civil War, where they're in Wakanda, how it looked so advanced, you know, playing right along with the way the country of Wakanda is portrayed in the Marvel comics. Yeah, definitely excited for Black Panther. What about you, Jaden?
I'm excited for it, but not more than any of the other movies, really. It's probably going to be good. I'm interested to hear more about it. I'm not, like, a huge fan of... He was good in Civil War, but he's not... I don't know. He didn't really make me that excited for his own movie.
It was awesome. I loved how whenever he'd land, like I noticed right away, and I know other people talked about this and said, oh, did, you know, maybe other people didn't notice. I was surprised how many didn't, like even, you know, because his suit is made out of, you know, vibranium. It's supposed to absorb sound. Like even when he would jump and land, there was no sound. I just thought that was so cool and done so well. So what about you, Manny? Your thoughts on Black Panther?
Yeah, I'm sold on it. I love the director who's doing the movies. He did Pivotal Station. He did Creed. Both of the films I just really, really liked. And then just the list of actors that they have in the film. And just like you said, the way Wakanda was portrayed at the end of The Avengers was really cool. And it's one of the Marvel characters that I don't necessarily follow. No, I haven't read too much on him, but that, you know, I've liked seeing some animated films with him and some other things where he's shown up. And, he's a really interesting character, especially being the leader of a nation. So, very, very sold on that. Probably the only Marvel movie that I'm looking forward to, down the line right now.
All right, and the last movie we're going to mention is Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them. J.K. Rowling, another movie set in the Harry Potter world or Harry Potter universe, whatever you want to say. Huge, huge anticipation for this. You know, clearly Harry Potter, one of the most beloved franchises in all of nerddom. I haven't seen all the Harry Potter movies. I haven't read the books, all the books anyway. I think I've read the first two or three. So I really don't have much to say about this. Probably won't go and see it. Don't really have much interest, but I know you read all the books, big Harry Potter fan, Jaden. So what are your thoughts here? Did you watch the trailer?
Well, I read all the books, and this is actually an adaption of like one of an encyclopedia that J.K. Rowling made or something, where it showed a couple of beasts that were in the, or a lot of the beasts that were in the Harry Potter universe. And I never read it, and I don't really see this as being anything more than a money grab, personally. I haven't even watched the trailer, so I have no interest in it, honestly. Maybe if it's good, maybe if I hear it's good, I'll go see it, but I honestly don't really care. I didn't really like the Harry Potter movies. I'm one of those snobs that was like, they weren't nearly as good as the books. but in my opinion, they butchered the sixth movie. I think it's the worst of all the movies, and I think that the sixth book is by far the best book. So, I don't know. I'm not planning on seeing it.
Okay. Manny, you have any thoughts?
No, I have no idea what that even is, besides the fact that it's in the world of Harry Potter.
All right, well, if you're a fan of Harry Potter, a bigger fan than Jaden, apparently, and you're interested, you can go to the show notes to check out the trailer. So we want to thank everyone for joining us for this episode. Just a quick reminder, you can go to thecomicsourceblog.com for past episodes of the podcast. You can watch episodes of our YouTube channel there, as well as finding Manny's written blog and my written blog, and of course our famous sketch gallery. You can follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/thecomicsource. You can do a search for The Comic Source on Facebook and Instagram. Keep up to date on when new episodes are coming out, when we have contests, all our convention coverage. I mentioned that we have a lot of conventions coming up. We have Long Beach Comic Con, we have Stockton Con, we have Heroes and Villains in San Jose, we have Stan Lee's Kamikaze. San Francisco Con is a possibility as well. So we're going to be doing a lot of convention coverage. We have a lot of interviews coming up, both interviews for me to release that I did at San Diego Comic-Con last week, as well as having guests on the show. So we really appreciate all the support, everybody. If you have friends who are into comics, comic book movies, comic book TV shows, be sure and tell them about the podcast so they can listen in. Something they can enjoy on a drive to work or taking the subway, whatever it is. We try to make it as informative as we can. We love hearing from listeners. So if you want to reach out to us directly, you can contact us through the Contact Us link on our website, or you can email us directly at thecomicsourceblog@gmail.com. And just one more quick reminder, we have our contest coming up to give away the Young Animal ash cans. So be sure and listen to the Gerard Way interview so you can find out what the trivia questions are and enter the contest. So once again, everybody, thanks for listening, and we'll talk to you next time.
Later.